Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning, the 4th of August 2020. Andrew Mayne to guide you through the next 25 minutes with all the latest in the world of sport before we head towards the Breakfast Club after 6 o'clock with Half and Whitey. Let's start, first of all, with the footy from last night. Port Adelaide getting the job done. Bit of a battle, but they overcame the Bulldogs in the second half, prevailing by 13 points.
Woodcock to Dixon. To Rosie. Chipping ball. Puts it out in front of Robbie Gray. Caleb Daniel, what a race. Robbie Gray pats it to his side. Oh, the only thing that was going to beat him was the siren. Port Adelaide by 13 points. Their 8th win of the year.
Meanwhile, in the other live sport last night, the Melbourne victory, coughing up a 2-1 lead with only 6 minutes to go. Ruiz Diaz for the Central Coast Mariners, scoring twice in the last 5 minutes to clinch all 3 points.
Eyes open, the Mariners' defence, who are coming back for a winner here late. Oh, he's through again. Ruiz Diaz making a name for himself. Brilliance. He has a double. And the Mariners, 3-2. Up against the Melbourne victory for the second time in a row.
Club record 5 losses in a row for the Melbourne victory. They'll be wanting the end of the season to come sooner rather than later. Let's head into the Breakfast Spot. We'll catch up on all the sporting news from the last 24 hours.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Big racing news as well across all three codes yesterday. Some good news from the government where they have got approval to continue under stage 4 restrictions. So fantastic news. More on that after 8:30 this morning with Michael Felgate and Racing Pulse. We'll hear the latest from Racing Victoria Chairman Brian Kruger, who will be part of the show, plus all the trots and greyhounds news and reaction as well. Good news, despite yesterday a bit of a COVID scare in the trots, the races are back on today. In terms of the Breakfast Club, coming up after 6 this morning, we'll have a chat to Cameron Percy, Australian Golf, for the early mail before 7 as we try and find you a winner. Rodney Ead from the Coach's Eye after 7 o'clock this morning. Robbie Griffiths with racing set to continue. We'll have a chat to him, key part of the Trainers Association. Matty Brown, Collingwood captain as well, as Suncorp Super Netball made its return, although not successfully for the Pies on Sunday. Then after 8, Max Gorn from the D's left the track a little early yesterday. Be interested to hear how Max is going. Good luck to Max after 8 o'clock. A few tough questions coming his way, I'm sure, after Melbourne's performance over the weekend. But they will be able to bounce back pretty soon enough. Let's head to the footy from last night. And in case you missed it, all went to bed early. It was a 13-point victory for Port Adelaide over the Western Bulldogs at the Adelaide Oval. 8-7-55 the power to the Western Bulldogs, 5-12-42. Charlie Dixon was big presence again up forward, booting 2 goals for the evening. Robbie Gray also with 2, 1 each to Farrell, Adams, Powell, Pepper and Wines. Meanwhile, for the Dogs, 2 to Lloyd, 2 to McLean and 1 to Waitman as they only kicked 5 goals for the night. Latham Vandermeer had plenty of chances. He kicked 4 behinds. But a good victory in the end for Port Adelaide, who continue their good start to the season. Let's hear from the coach, Ken Hinckley, after the win.
4-day break, first team. I think we've been able to conquer a lot of things this year as a footy club, and you know, like we've had to all year, we've embraced the opportunity, and you know, our boys, to their credit, I think we were trying to fake it a little bit early. We were trying to pretend that we were feeling really fresh and up and about, but we were, you know, it's a solid performance. I don't care who you are, and you know, every team's going to witness it and feel it and experience a bit of it. It's a tough environment, but our resilience again was pretty special. I thought, you know, we were almost entitled to be a fair bit down at half time, I think, but our defensive group and defensive team actions really held up for us really well, so it's pretty pleasing to do that. And then, as we've done a few times this year now, we've been able to adjust, reset, and get it done.
There we go. Speaking there last night, Ken Hingley, after the 13-point victory that sees Port Adelaide still top of the table, Brisbane would need a big win over Richmond if they're to match them at the top of the ladder later on tonight. Let's hear from the losing coach now, Luke Beveridge, on a bit of a struggle throughout the night. Dogs had their chances but couldn't capitalise, kicking 5 goals, 12 for the evening.
With the pressure around there, I thought we coughed the ball up in that third quarter, allowed them to spit forward. And we weren't doing that in the first half. So, and you know, as I've said, it only takes one or two individuals just to lose their influence on the game, and we're vulnerable, and that happened in the third quarter. So we managed to get that back in on our terms late in the game, which is a good sign. I mean, it's probably the first game all year where we felt like, you know, the scoreboard tells a story in Port's favour, but it's one that's got away. I mean, Port are on top of the ladder. They've beaten some teams. They've still got to play some teams. It's hard to know who's going to be right at the pointy end at the end of the year. And we're similar. You know, we've got some teams coming up who are up at the top end, and two or three who are below us or around us. Yeah, it's difficult to know.
Pretty flat, Luke Beveridge, there after another loss for the Western Bulldogs. In terms of their position now on the ladder, they sit in 8th spot, but Essendon, who are in 9th, are on the same amount of points, but have played 2 less games. So a couple up their sleeve. Collingwood, Gold Coast, Carlton and Hawthorn, all only a win behind, and the Western Bulldogs with not a great percentage either, only 92.2% at this stage. So if any of those teams below them win this round, you'd see the Dogs drop out of the 8. So the rest of the footy news from yesterday, it's nice to preview a sensational clash on the cards later on tonight. This is going to be an absolute ripper between Richmond and Brisbane up at Metricon. One change for each team. Vlosten comes into the lineup. Oleg Markov has been omitted for the Tigers in what will be Vlosten's 150th game. Jack Payne, a debutant for the Brisbane Lions, comes in for the managed Grant Birchall, giving the old boy a bit of a rest after a good start to his Brisbane career. So one change for either side ahead of tonight's game. Let's hear from Damien Hardwick on the challenge of the Lions.
We play the two form sides of the competition in the next two games in Brisbane, who obviously played an incredible band of footy. They really dismantled it. Essendon on the, I don't even know whether it was the weekend or midweek, whatever game it was, I'm not too sure, but I did a bit of a number on them. So yeah, they're in good form. They played outstanding brand of footy. They're fun to watch. So it's going to be a great challenge for our boys. We're really looking forward to the challenge of playing what I think is possibly the best side in the competition at this stage. So the seed will be set. They'll come out hard early, and we expect our boys will do the same.
So there we go. Speaking last night, Damien Hardwick, head of the clash tonight. Will they tag Lachie Neale? Here's what he had to say.
He sort of has a field day every time he plays us as well. I think he had 40 or it might have been 51 game he played us. But, you know, once again, he's an incredible player. We showed our players some vision of him this morning, how he can fight through tackles and get through and then create 1v-none. So, look, he's just a player we can tag. But the reality is he'll probably still get 30, you know, when we do tag him. So we'll monitor him as best we can. We'll try and manage his output, but the reality is that great players do what great players do. We're not a heavy tagging side. We have those contingencies in place, but we'll back our side in to play their very best footy, and if we do that, we think we'll be okay.
To the Brisbane side of things, looking forward to Charlie Cameron entertaining us all on a Tuesday night. This is what he had to say ahead of the clash later on tonight.
Last year, I locked the ball in our half in the first quarter. We just didn't capitalise. I think going into this game, they've got a different personnel going into this game. A lot of younger players and a lot of experienced players missing. So it'll be a good challenge. Played a good game last week against the Doggies, which they were in form team. And so I think we should come out with the same mindset we played on the weekend against Essendon. Just come out and play it in our half and lock it in and just build the pressure. I think, yeah, it'll be a good cracking game Tuesday night. So Faves touched on it this week. I think last time we beat them was 2009. So I think it's 15 games in a row he spoke about. So it's a good challenge. we're looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting game, and I guess two big teams going at it. Yeah, we're just looking forward to the matchup, to see where we're at against another Premiership team. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Should be a ripper. Cannot wait for that clash later on tonight. Let's head to the A-League from last night. As you heard off the top, Melbourne Victory conceding two goals in the last 5 minutes and cost themselves all 3 points. They were leading 2-1. And then Ruiz Diaz, a young gun for the Central Coast Mariners, was able to score twice and steal the points from the Melbourne Victory. Let's hear from Grant Brebner, the coach, after another loss. Club record, 5 losses in a row.
It was disappointing for me on the night. I don't think we really had too much rhythm to our play all night. We played in patches. We managed to counter-attack at times. Yes, we created some chances in the first half and later in the second half. But, yeah, disappointing night at the office for us.
What do you make of the last 5 minutes? Is that a concentration thing or something else, do you think?
Yes, concentration. Players switching off, not doing their jobs. We get punished. But at this level, you get punished. We know where we're at in terms of the group of players we have, and they have to understand that, when you switch off, when you don't do your jobs, you're going to get punished, and we did again tonight.
Before we hit the ad break, time to catch up on the latest in the NRL world, especially from a Melbourne Storm perspective. Few rumours starting to float around regarding Cameron Smith's future at the club. Of course, we know he's played over 400 games for the Melbourne Storm, retired from State of Origin, so he won't have those commitments after the season this year. And it's all about whether he'll go on for another year. His form certainly warrants it. Out at the moment with an AC joint injury for at least 2 weeks. This was Phil Rothfield, who normally has some pretty good mail on the future of Cameron Smith, on Fox Sports last night.
Candy, I think he'll retire.
I really do.
I'm starting to get mail, and the reason I don't put it on the back page of the paper or declare it, because I'm sort of only 80% sure, but there's vibes coming out of that camp that he will retire. Now, it would be disappointing in that he won't get the Amy Park farewell, which he desperately wanted fans. He won't play there again. But that can be sorted out next year.
This is huge news.
Oh, we can give him another testimonial.
When you say it's huge news, I said I'm 80% sure.
Yeah.
And I don't like putting a story into the paper unless I'm 99.9.
But you'll throw it on here.
Just said it on national television.
You'll throw it on here at 80, will you?
Oh, sorry for coming in here.
Please, don't let the dog eat on the backside.
Because based on the weekend, the chairman of the club, Matt Tripp, has come out and said he wants to keep Cameron Smith beyond next season and Craig Bellamy beyond next season.
Well, you quoted Mal Meninga in your column on the weekend saying he's in such good touch.
Yeah, but Mal's not the sort of bloke either to say, Cameron, give it away, hang up your boots, you're too old, is he?
But
I thought I got a pretty obvious response. All I'm telling you is the vibes I'm getting out of Melbourne Storm, I'm 80% sure he will give it away, but I can't declare it, and that's why... I don't think we should make a big fuss about it.
There we go. Phil Rothfield, maybe a little bit of clarity coming on Cameron Smith's future over the next couple of weeks. Just to finish on NRL, an amazing interview last night on Fox Sports. So Todd Payton, who's the interim coach of the New Zealand Warriors after Stephen Kearney was sacked earlier in the year, just dropped this bomb in the middle of the interview that he'd been offered the job and turned it down last week.
Yeah, I had an interview... maybe 10, 14 days ago. It went well. Had been offered the job, last Monday, so a week ago. And I informed the club that I'm going to turn it down, and just wasn't the right opportunity for my family and myself at this time being.
Hang on. So you are telling us that you got offered the head coaching job of the Warriors last week and have decided to turn it down?
Yep, that's right. Yep, not an easy decision, something I agonised over for a few days, but in the end, it was the first time I put my family first in a decision, and just wasn't the right timing.
So, Todd, can you just explain to us what the negatives were? Because you're over there as an assistant coach, you've obviously got head coaching ambitions, so to knock back the job, what was it that, concerning your family, made you go that way?
I guess Many people know this, but my wife's father just started chemotherapy. So that was at the forefront of our mind. Obviously, with the COVID thing, you know, for her to travel back and forth is, very, very difficult. So that was a big part of it. And there's some other issues I don't want to make public, but that's just my decision, and I've made it. I'm well aware. It was tough. It was tough for everyone. The club was shocked and disappointed. But, moving forward, my focus is on getting this side prepared as well as we can from week to week.
Quite amazing television last night. As you heard, the host has shocked as everyone that he would drop that bomb on air. But Todd Payton turning down the job, and he's thrown his hat in the ring for the vacant job at North Queensland. So we'll see if he has any luck there at the Cowboys. Time for a break at 12 to 6 on your Tuesday morning. On the other side of this, a little bit of cricket news that has developed overnight. We'll catch up on the latest there. Live NBA action going as well. We'll hear the finish to the Darwin Cup yesterday, plus the rest of your footy news.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
They head for the judge, and Ash Gray, it's gone to the lead, the Gray. It's a Hymns coming out after him, Sava 2XL, it's gone. A gap, Turnbury, Pagman down the outside, and then Rocherville. It's a Hymns going out after Ash Gray. Can the Gray go back to back? Pagman's coming big time. It's a Hymn, Ash Gray, Ash Gray. It's a Hymn, it's a Hymn, goes back to back. He's brilliant. It's a Hymn, wins it, a neck on the line of Pagman.
Yeah, it's a him winning the Darwin Cup yesterday. Trainer Rod Galberti was fairly doubtful that he could repeat its success again this year, but nice to see a win there, and nice to see 7,500 people at Darwin Turf Club yesterday. Very jealous indeed. So it's a him back-to-back victories in the Darwin Cup. A nice day there in the Northern Territory yesterday. Hopefully you were able to fill your pockets watching from afar here in a lockdown in Melbourne and Victoria. Let's head to the cricket world now. A bit of news coming through yesterday, and that is the fact that the Indian Premier League have confirmed that the much-delayed 2020 tournament will start in the United Arab Emirates in September. So the first game will kick off on September 19. The final will be played on November 10, meaning there will be a clash with Australia's Sheffield Shield season, which traditionally Test players are required to play in ahead of the start of the Australian summer. So it'll be interesting to see how that battle goes over the next couple of months. They've got a bit of time to sort it out, considering it doesn't start until September 19, but I'm sure the players and Cricket Australia will be having some conversations fairly shortly. To the two golf tournaments that concluded yesterday morning Australian time at the WGC FedEx St Jude Invitational, Justin Thomas won at 13 under the card from Tom Lewis, Phil Mickelson, Daniel Berger and Brooks Koepka all tied in second position at 10 under the card. So well done to Justin Thomas. That's three wins for the season now. He's enjoying a good 2020 despite most of us having a pretty average one. And Ricky Wierenski, a man I've never heard of before, won the Barracuda Championship yesterday as well on the PGA Tour. So a couple of wins there for a couple of Americans. Hopefully the Aussies can fare a little better this week. First major of the year. Funny to say that in August, but the PGA Championship will take place this weekend and starts in a couple of days' time on Thursday, of course, as well. So very much looking forward to that. Let's head now to a little bit of the NBA from yesterday. And what about this long-range shot? Right on the halftime buzzer from Pultz yesterday playing for Orlando.
As deeply as Jonathan Isaac.
That's a nice drive by Heal. Buddy Heal with his second field goal. Fultz got it from three-quarter court. Markel Fultz, and it counts.
Kapaya!
Of course. If you don't get a Kapaya for that one, when are you ever going to get one? Jeff Turner.
There we go yesterday. It was a nice win also for Orlando, 132-116 over the Kings. Other results yesterday, Nets beat the Wizards, Spurs over the Grizzlies, Rockets beat the Bucks, Suns over the Mavericks, and the Celtics beat the Trailblazers. Live score at the moment, the Raptors 100 lead the Heat 96. There's 3 minutes 54 left in the fourth quarter, so that'll go for about the next 2 hours. The Wizards and the Pacers to tip off in about 5 minutes' time as well, along with the Thunder and the Nuggets. Of course, this is all being played in the hub at Disney World in the US. So not a bad time to be an NBA basketballer at this time, even though they are in a bit of a hub. Let's head back to the footy news. As I mentioned off the top, in case you slept or went to bed early last night, it was Port Adelaide with a narrow 13-point victory last night. They overcame the Western Bulldogs, mainly in the second half, where they were able to have a dominant third term to turn the tables on a pretty scrappy first half where the Bulldogs led going into halftime, but then lost by 13 points. 5-12-42, the Dogs, the Power 8-7-55 to maintain top spot on the AFL ladder. More footy to come later on tonight. In case you missed the team changes, Vlosten comes in for the Tigers, who will face Brisbane. Oleg Markov has been admitted. Jack Payne, new boy for Brisbane. Looking forward to seeing him. He's in for Grant Birchall, who has been managed for the Lions. It is going to be an absolute cracker later on tonight. Let's head around a few of the other news pieces from the AFL yesterday. We'll start with Leon Cameron speaking about Toby Green's hamstring injury.
Yeah, look, he's probably going to miss 2 weeks, guys. Disappointing. He'll miss clearly Essendon and the Swans, and we think he'll be right for the game over in WA. And Matty De Boer is probably 2 to 3. You know, he just did it the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game, which is disappointing. But as we know, we're going to be dealing with injuries in this tight turnaround, and every club's dealing with it.
So a couple more out for the Giants. Let's head to Brett Ratton now. He spoke about Jake Carlisle's MRO fine for slapping the hand of Dane Rampey in their win.
Yeah, I've had a chat to Jake. It's not a look that, you know, is good for the game. You know, that was something that happened 10 and 15 years ago in the game. I think we've moved well past that. So he understands, you know, what he did. You know, he's copped his whack. He's copped a fine. You know, the heat of the moment got to him, I think. But he's been playing some really good football for us and been really consistent defender. So, you know, this is one that, you know, he got a slap on the wrist, and, you know, but he needs to make sure that, you know, he doesn't do this again. So I think you'll learn from this lesson.
Slap on the wrist for slapping someone else's wrist or hand yesterday. So $500 for Jake Carlisle. Let's head to Jamie McMillan now. He's going to head home from the Roos Hub for the birth of his child.
I remember when we found out we were having a kid, and it was in December, and as most footballers probably do, they look up the schedule to see, or the draw, and see where it lands, and thought we timed it perfectly. It was going to fall in the pre-finals bye, which was good. Now falls about round 13 or 14, so I will be going home for the birth. I just got to try and work out when that is, and at this stage it probably looks like it'll be next week sometime, but I'm trying to get in as many games as I can. That's the plan at the minute, is probably to head home after that Melbourne game. But yeah, it's, again, wait and see. 2020 is a challenging year for a lot of people, and just means that, unfortunately, if I do go home, it's going to be very hard to come back. If I do come back, I'll probably have to serve a 2-week quarantine period somewhere in a hotel room by myself, which, you know, to then turn around and play a game of football days or weeks later is challenging. So they're the obstacles I face and sort of have come into the decision-making. But at the end of the day, you know, it's my first kid, and I want to be there to support Ollie. And, you know, everyone says it's one of the best moments of your life, so I don't want to miss that.
No doubt about that. Jamie McMillan will leave the hub at some stage. Let's head to Matthew Nix now. Crows coming off another disappointing loss on the weekend. And now Zip and Nine in their start to the season. Although, expect a few changes this week.
Didn't look like us at all. It didn't look like our game plan. Didn't look like the way we'd train. What it looked like was 18 individuals running around trying hard. But doing it on their own. As I said, a slightly older group on the weekend didn't get the result we're after. We'll be forced to make changes this week, and we'll be slightly younger again.
That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning. Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6 o'clock this morning. Plenty to come on the show. Very much looking forward to hearing from Max Gorn after 8 o'clock as part of the show. Rodney Eade after 7 as well, and before that, the early mail is where you try and find your winner. Then all the racing news, all you need to know about the COVID-19 restrictions during stage four. If you're a trainer or a jockey or a participant or a driver or an owner, all coming your way after 8:30. Make sure you're listening to Racing Pulse this morning. Michael Felgate will have it all covered for you, then RSN Central after that, after 10:30, with Matty Nevitt as well. It's going to be a big Tuesday morning with plenty of reaction to the announcements yesterday. Settle in, keep us locked on RSN in the background as you go about your daily work. Good luck to all of us in lockdown at the moment. Have a great Tuesday. We'll chat again tomorrow.